Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Are you ready for some Big 12?
Is that the news? Is that Memphis's go day? Can we pack up and leave the AAC? I thought the news was we're welcoming some scrubs in.
See, this is just like you. You want to focus on the ugly. You want to focus on Jaren. You want to focus on
Jaren,
the AAC.
Jaren is not part
of
the ugly.
I want to focus on the job. I want to focus on the big the future. You see, you try to focus on the present. I'm trying to see the future. So if you'll come with me, I can maybe paint that picture for you.
Please do.
So two things. One is, yes, AAC expanded. What a depressing press conference and what a depressing day for everybody involved, except the six members that are coming in. Yes, this
Oresco
is awful.
Oresco earning his
this
money.
This is terrible. There was no...
He's extremely pleased.
Yes. No, he's not extremely pleased, but nor are any existing members. This is a horrible day for the league, and it's wobbly anyway. It's just like Conference USA. Memphis can leave this thing and goodbye. It's gone. You know, just as you know, as happy as everybody is today to get two games with Memphis in basketball, and you get to play Memphis in football on a Thursday night on ESPN Plus. You know, we're playing down, right? We're punching down is Memphis. So make no mistake about it. This is a horrible day for the University of Memphis and SMU and any credible athletic program in this league. Mike Oresco knows that. That's why they're not getting the same amounts of money. You know, they're getting less. Because everybody else is embarrassed and ashamed to have to share a league.
$2 million, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, for them, it is a huge upgrade, right? It's like life-changing money for them. And look, I don't hate every league, every team that's coming in. I think there's some value, but y'all don't want to hear me try to sell y'all on.
No, we want you to sell us on Big 12. That's what
Big
you 12. Told us where this started.
Unranked underdog. So
we don't want to look at where we're at. We want to look at where we're going,
right,
according to you.
Right. Now, you want to focus on where we're at. And that's fine, but I want to try to get the hell out of this thing. You know,
I think we're all trying to get the hell out, John. We all get how important that is.
It's an escape room, you know, and we got to put together the clues.
And you couldn't get out.
Well, in some situations, I have had hard, like where there's math involved.
Yeah,
my ass would definitely starve in that thing. You know, as long as we get an escape room with no math, I'll get out. Trust me.
Okay.
You know, a little wordplay, you know, a little literature. I can get out.
Okay. Memphis get out?
This is a conundrum. It's a real conundrum Memphis has found itself in. Now, Bob Bowlsby is the commissioner of the Big 12. And you
very,
know,
very familiar.
What does Bob Bowlsby hate? Like, if I had, what?
He hates meddling. He hates ESPN meddling. He backed them off, backed the AAC off.
But who else? Who else? Who else was involved in the meddling? It was ESPN. Who were they, according to Bob Bowlsby, collaborating with?
That's Mike Oresco in the
right,
AAC.
Right. So
he can't stand
so
us.
So what if
he turned the tables on us too?
What if Bob Bowlsby's last sort of act as Big 12 commissioner was to effectively destroy the American, like end it for real, the way that the American tried to end the Big 12, and that of course meaning come get over here, Memphis, because it's over, it's done. Like you take Memphis out of this league, it's not you're not getting the $7 million. You're not getting that. Like you're done. And Bob Bowlsby gave an interview to DMagazine.com. I guess it's Dallas Magazine. And it's interesting. He was asked, "Your headquarters are here in North Texas, and SMU is right here in Dallas. Is SMU ringing your phone wanting in on the Big 12 party?" and just bear with me here. He says, that's a good question. I've had a lot of questions, a lot of conversations with President Turner and with Athletic Director Rick Hart. I've known them both for a long time. I have great respect for them. But we went after the best athletes we could find, and it was the four we got. They were the ones that bring the highest top end and the most value, but I have great respect for SMU. Other schools I heard from that I respect include Memphis. They were very interested. Boise State raised their hand. Some others in the West wanted in. And just because we didn't take them now, that doesn't mean we are no longer considering growth. It isn't just about taking in new members just to have more pie. There's going to have to be good strategic reasons for getting larger. It can't be just about liking the school's leadership or liking the location. There has to be more to it than that. So I wouldn't foreclose on additional expansion. But for us right now, our indication is in the marketplace that bigger is better.
I like Bowlesby mentioning Memphis and Boise State.
Well, I think that is as close to as public validation as you're going to get, right? Short of being actually invited.
No question.
That is as close as you are going to get. And so, you know, look, people are tweeting me and they're, you know, I had the interview with Rudd where he said, we're looking at the new stadium. We're looking into that new stadium. That hasn't stopped. In fact, I think it's only going to intensify based on a few things. And you know, they have done the indoor facility. They have announced the Memphis Rising Initiative. They've talked about the Student Olympic Village. You know, so for anybody out there that is confused, like, again, the Sikkim 365 guys, they were misinformed. They just were misinformed. It happens. They took something. They asked me a very innocent question, and I gave them a very innocent and honest answer, and they twisted that up into something that it wasn't. I have never once said, I have never once intimated, I have never once reported that Memphis is dragging its feet because of President Rudd leaving his post. In fact, I've said the opposite. I've said he's ramping it up and he's trying to set the tone for the next guy. And I think there's a better than decent chance that Rudd is going to be involved anyway because he's already started this, right? He's in the thick of this. So even if he does transition out of his presidency, I still think he will be around to advise. I think that's just sort of he feels that obligation, if I had to guess. So, you know, I got people texting me. I got people asking me. I feel the same way I felt about it after, even after it was over. It's depressing today, but I still think Memphis winds up there. Is it going to be a beautiful day, a glorious day? Probably not. It's going to be like, you know, wiping your brow. Like, you know, the door's closing. It's like red light, green light, bro. You know? You just barely made it across the line. You're not necessarily celebrating, but you're happy to be alive. And do I have that reference pretty right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what happened? Like, you know, you're not very happy in Squid Game, but you're alive. And you can fight another day.
I think there's great joy in being alive and surviving. I think they found that through every game.
Yeah, and so that's what Memphis is in right now. Memphis is in red light, green light. And there are waves, right? Everybody gets across the line at a different time. Those who do end up making it. Some don't.
I'm not sure if I'm getting the red light, green light, but you go right on in, wrap it on up.
Yeah, So basically, Memphis is in a game of red light, green light. And Houston and UCF and Cincinnati and BYU, they already crossed the line. They're in front of you. They started in front of you. They're across the line.
I understand that.
But that does not mean that you, too, also cannot make it across the red line.
Well, there's only a couple more spots.
There are only a couple more spots, right?
You better be on this boat.
Yes, I agree.
Is the way I would put it.
I think there's one more wave. When Texas and Oklahoma leave the Big 12 for the SEC, whenever that is, there is one more crack at it. And again, I would just I can't see a scenario where Memphis, with the resources and with the investment and with the things that they are attempting to do with the stadium and the conversations that are being had and some other things that are going on behind the scenes, I just cannot imagine a scenario where I will be highly disappointed. I mean, insanely disappointed if Memphis is, and so will everybody else. Memphis and Boise feel like I think SMU is going to have a hard time. I think SMU is one of those schools. Now, if they go to four, yes, SMU will get in. But let's say they only take two to replace. I don't know that they will. They might take four. You just like who had the AAC taking six? You know, I talked to an administrator in the AAC this week who said they thought they were only going to end up taking two. Well, they tripled that. So who knows? If they take two, I think Memphis is in. And you can sort of compound from there. SMU is going to have a hard time politically. That's just my thing. I think they might get like some no votes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
By from Houston or whoever. Like I think they might try to be. There might be a block attempt on SMU. don't see that for Memphis. So, yeah, look, it's crap what's coming into the AAC. It's garbage. No two ways around that. And I don't think anybody privately, publicly, why do you think you haven't heard anything from Memphis, right? Memphis hasn't said anything about this.
Other than welcome and the things it's supposed to do on the surface to these new newbies. I think they tweeted out a welcome.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Okay, that was a very...
That's what you have to do on the surface.
You have to do that, yes.
That's why they had images and stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they went heavy.
I'm so surprised that Bowlesby would mention them publicly. Quite frankly,
I am too.
Because that's what you don't do is like you're
tipping
your
hand a little bit.
You're doing the dance behind the scenes. You usually don't tip your hand of who you're dancing with. And, you know, those have been the reports, those two schools. So he could have just been responding to those and kind of keeping their names out there. But the fact that he's mentioning you and Boise State, and then he says, what was the other phrase? Those other guys from the West, you know, didn't mention them by name. Feels like it's almost a singling out of the two of you. There's a separation between these two I named and everybody else. It was almost in his language, the way he phrased it.
Yep.
So, you know, it's encouraging. I wonder, you said, the last question I have on this follow-up with you, just listening to you. You mentioned that at one point it looked like the AAC wasn't going to do six, going to do two.
Yep.
Did they do six with the intention of, okay, we're going to 14 now, but we know we're going to lose a Memphis and be down at 13? Because if we just do two, what's the point? We're going to lose one.
And they have to do this again.
They've gone up in the case that, and so that would leave you
I think that's a reasonable.
You go to 14 because you're going from 11 to 8, then up adding 6, go to 14. You're dropping back down to 13. Theoretically, Memphis jumps out of there, and you've got a, you know, back to an odd number like you got right now with the 11, right? I mean, that's, they have to be planning to lose Memphis, right, with the speculation. With Bowlby with them knowing behind the scenes what Rudd and Memphis, it's not like Oresco's in the dark about what Memphis wants to do. He just watched Cincinnati and UCF do it. Like, he knows Memphis wants to be, Houston as well, wants to be in that boat. So, you know, they have to be working. My point, the AC and Oresco have to be working with you. You add six because we know, two, we're going to lose one here in a couple of years at least. When Texas, Oklahoma make the move and Bob Bowlesby opens back up again.
Yes, I think that is a reasonable.
That's a good sign that Oresco believes.
I've not been told that, but it would make sense on paper, right?
Good sign about Memphis' position.
Yeah, because you can't, if you're Mike Oresco, be that stupid. I would hope not.
Walking blindly. I'm sure he's selling to those schools, yeah, though, come play with Memphis, because he was doing it, you know, in the hopes he'd get Boise State, come play with Boise State.
Yeah.
That's everything they got. Like,
trust
you said,
me.
You pull Memphis out of that thing, that contract goes to. What are you paying to watch at that point if you're ESPN and viewers?
Memphis is looking for the first ticket out, and it really won't – the terms of it won't really even matter.
I hate that it's like, what's up, Rem Baker again? And
yes.
But it's in a league in a place you don't want to be.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? No. We want to say bye-bye to you again, actually, Rem.
Well, it's like, I made this reference yesterday, but it's like –
love seeing you again, but bye-bye.
You never want to have the most expensive house on the block. You just don't, or in the neighborhood, you know? You don't. And that's what Memphis has right now, undoubtedly.
You say you like some of what's coming in? You said you like one or two of these?
I mean,
Florida Atlantic, Charlotte,
no,
North Texas, UTSA.
I don't like it.
What was the phrase you used with Jeff about UTSA?
Broke dick.
Yeah, I never heard that in my life.
Yes.
Which basically means they're broke and don't pay for anything,
they're
right?
Cheap.
They're cheap.
Yes.
Rice and UAB, there's something in there you like?
No.
Oh, I thought you said there were.
But there's like, I could sell you on it if I
had to.
There
ain't nothing in there you can sell me.
North Texas pays its coaches well. That's all I can tell you.
They've been around for like 10 years.
Yeah, they pay their coaches really well, though.
Well, like, excuse me, UTSA I'm referring to. North Texas is decent, but you like that because it's Ren Baker.
Ren Baker makes $900,000 as the athletic director at North Texas, bro. Like, they pay. That's my point.
North Texas is going to sell tickets?
I don't know.
When they come to...
I'm not going to do this.
What's the new stadium? The stadium's Simmons...
Simmons Bank.
We got to get
Simmons
used to
Bank
it.
Memorial
Simmons
Stadium.
Bank Memorial Stadium. Brad's going. He's going to lead us into the future.
Yeah.
I'm going to struggle with that for a while.
I'm not going to take this journey with you, and I'm not going to be asked to defend it, and I'm not going to be asked to sell it because I don't have the energy. I got enough going on in my life. I can't take this on as well. I can't be the spokesperson for the new AAC. Right? It sucks.
Nobody asking you to do that.
I'm a bad,
I thought I
I'm
heard
a
you say there
the
were
job.
Some things that you like as you were with
I'm
we
a
were
bad
it
fit.
Down there.
I'm a horrible fit for this because if I were up there, I would say,
that's
guys,
why they gave Oresco the
this
race.
Is trash. This is terrible.
Nobody going to
nothing
not gonna
about this is good, and I feel sorry. You know, yesterday you wanted to cry about Darius Garland. You know, feel sorry for Memphis.
He's a good player, by the way.
Feel sorry for the Tiger. Not
a good wouldn't call
be,
there.
Wouldn't yeah. be. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
No, wouldn't fit here in
Cavs
Memphis or anything like that.
As I thought
but
they
Darius
are.
Garland's a good player in a bad organization.
Yeah.
So lay off him.
Just like the Tigers are a really good program in a bad league. They're the Darius Garland of the AAC. You
feel
know?
Bad for the Tigers.
Feel bad for them because they're the ones who, you know.
Feel bad for Darius.
I don't know. I guess 2023 is what they're talking about with this. What year?
23-24.
You may be asking as a Memphis fan, okay, this is a lot of information. This is a lot of stuff.
Imagine the basketball again with the renewed rivalry with Charlotte and UAB.
Yes. Woo! That is so
Rice
much fun.
Is back.
The Gene Bartow game, man.
Yes, it's back.
If you're a Memphis fan, you're probably asking yourself today, like you're listening to the radio show, you're like, okay, well, John,
this is the real America.
John, what do I need to root for? Like, and the answer is very simple. You need to root for Texas and Oklahoma to have their exits expedited. You need them to join the SEC, preferably 2023-24 as well, so that we can start having the conversation of how does the Big 12 replace those two? Because they will, they have to, the quicker that happens, you know, Memphis might be able to at the last second. You know, hit the eject button from this thing. They may not have to see, or it could be like Rutgers. They could be like Rutgers. Remember when Rutgers was in the AAC? You don't.
It was like 1 year, wasn't it?
Memphis obviously would hope to, you know, replicate their stay in the AAC that way. You know, like
maybe
you have one year
trip up there. It was weird.
Yeah, and then you're gone, and then you're done, and then you move on to greener pastures. And the pastures will be greener. How much greener? That's up for debate. I think we could have that conversation a different day, but. You know, it's a matter of life and death right now. I don't mean to be dramatic, but it is because the money dries up and you're obviously not going to get – because it's so depressing. But you're going to hold on to your $7 million per, right?
Yes.
You're going to hold on
nearly
to
nearly $7 million.
Through 2031, 32. But I got bad news.
What's bad news?
You're not getting more.
Oh.
When that negotiation comes up.
Of course not.
Because you know why? You got these ass clowns
no value to the league.
At the back, you know, who are just dragging your value all the way down. And so until you get rid of them, you're stuck. You know, your value is capped. You know, whereas if like the Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma is not so big anymore, but it's still an intriguing league, you know, because you got some guys. You got some teams there, you know? I mean, Baylor is a solid football program. Iowa State's a solid football program. You know, you got some properties there that you can work with. Whereas, and then in basketball, you got Kansas. I mean, you still have some properties. You know, you have no such thing in this league. And so, yes, everybody at Memphis, rest assured, there is no dragging feet. Their feet are on fire right now at Memphis, okay? Let me be unequivocally clear about that. Their feet are on fire. They want out of this league like we need air to breathe, okay? So let there be no confusion about that. And there are steps that they have to take, and there are things that they have to explore. One of those is stadium. They know that. This is why we've already talked about it. They've already put that out there into the air. I know this sounds a little bit like, Groundhog Day insanity a little bit because we've been having this conversation. But when can you remember the effort being this public and this, like, there's a lot happening, and it's not a coincidence. None of this is a coincidence. So it's a good thing overall that Bob Bowlsby did single out Memphis, because Memphis and Boise State are the two schools that people I talk to sort of all believe will be the next two when and if the Big 12 decides to take more. I just don't see how it's anybody else, quite frankly. So it's a weird day. It's a bittersweet day because the bitter part is, you know, here comes the circus. But the sweet part is that you may not actually have to be a part of that if Memphis does what it's supposed to do in the next few years. So
I pray that happens.
We all do.
For this city.
We all do, man. Because, again.
For sports radio.
Difference between basically flailing and floundering and petering out as an athletic program and like being at a huge competitive disadvantage unlike you've ever seen, or like being able to sustain yourself. And I'm kind of like hesitant to say, but you know, relatively, that's the difference.
This is a, you know how you like to say the crossroads?
Yes. Oh, buddy. This is the
real one. Joe.
This is like
we've been building up to the real cross. I'm surprised you haven't used the term yet.
I
this is the real one.
I am not trying to be dramatic when I say this, but this is the single biggest moment for the University of Memphis Athletic Department in history. This moment right now. This is going to decide whether, you know, Memphis football can continue to be what it is, right? Continue to be an 8-win team, a bowl team, maybe some years a group of, a G6 bowl team. Or then conversations have to start being had. You know, travel budgets get bigger, right? Dollar doesn't go as far as it once did. Contract negotiations come up with your TV deal. Why the hell am I going to pay you $7 million? Y'all got three-legged horses in this conference. Y'all got some mutants in here. It's disgusting. Get it the hell out of my office, Willie Harrington style. Doesn't get easier. You know what I'm saying? You go to the Big 12, though, and you got, like I said, Iowa State, Baylor. You know, some years Kansas State might be in the mix, right? You're going to have Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, real recognizable brands that Memphis would belong
with. You're leaving out my man Gundy, who got a big
Oklahoma State, absolutely. You have real properties that people around the country still know.
Gundy.
And that's where Memphis is right now. That's where Memphis is. They have to get to the other side, and if they don't, they will suffer the same fate as many, many, many did in red light, green light. Those who could not make it across the red line, they suffered the ultimate fate, and that would happen to Memphis in the end if they do not get into the Big 12. And that's not being dramatic. I promise you, if you ask anybody over there.
Well, I didn't feel like you had been dramatic enough, so that's why I wanted to turn up the John Martin drama.
That's DJ drama.
Now
right
you
there.
Still didn't use the
DJ
phrase
drama.
Crossroads. I think because you're like Gary with the Tigers. You're trying to almost protect. You're trying to stay away a little bit.
It's the single biggest.
But this
moment.
Is the crossroads.
It's the single most decisive moment.
If it's that, it's a crossroads.
It's the single most decisive moment for the University of Memphis in its history. It is.
You need to get that bone out, Brad. Crossroads. That's we're here
again.
Here we are. But we should play it every time you talk about the crossroads.
You don't think it's a crossroads.
Oh, I do. I it's life or death as far as I'm concerned. I've told you. I've been Mr. Eeyore over here about the whole thing because Memphis always gets left behind. And here, yes, there are good reasons to have your hopes up. There's no alternative. Because what I've told you, my fear is, how do you go on with football trying to sell tickets in a conference like this, trying to get your people to come watch, where it's always been an issue. Teams that nobody wants to see them against. You don't even have, teams that have now become brands like Cincinnati and UCF. You're building all the national brand. You're building all over again.
Yep.
Who wants to come see that? Nobody wants to schedule you in the out of conference.
Yep.
Because if they lose to you, their seasons are done. Their hopes for a college football playoff are done.
Yep.
And then by the time we get back around to a college football playoff, nobody's going to leave a spot for this mess. Saying, this is a conference that deserves an automatic spot. That's not going to happen either. So it's life or death.
Yep.
Because then basketball would survive. It can survive anything like we've talked about. Could be radioactive and Memphis could still walk. Basketball-wise, could still survive.
Yep.
It's the football thing that you have to question. Everything that they've poured in, how could you sustain?
Correct.
That sort of effort in a league that they're not going to care about you anymore.
Right, and then decisions have to start being made, if that's the way it ultimately goes. Like, you'll have to sit down and you'll have to, crunch some numbers. And that's not where you want to be.
You want to be like Wichita State and just
– Yeah.
Just do basketball.
Yeah.
But you might be asking yourself those questions.
Like, that's not beyond the pale. It's just not. And that's, again, that's if Memphis doesn't get in. So we're going to focus on what Bob Bowlesby said, which is that he heard from Memphis. He singled Memphis out, said that publicly. And I am going to take that and interpret that as a very promising sign for the University of Memphis. In the meantime, welcome your new members. Your new members. It's the short bus. Here comes the, what's 2 + 2? Thomas Jefferson, sucker. Here comes a short bus.
No, I've been told you don't refer to that as it anymore.
What? But, what do you call it then?
The
remedial
what?
Bus?
Not that.
It is a short bus.
Moving on.
Why do people?
Next story.
I don't know if it's political. You can't even, I don't think you can say that anymore in 2021 is what I'm trying to tell you. Y'all jumped on me the other months ago about
bus?
Something that's changed.
Smaller bus. I don't understand.
It's a derogatory wording for people who are challenged.
That's from the boss.
But I'm trying to understand. Maybe we can have this conversation.
No idea. Sometimes we hit things and we're like, really? Now I can't? But no, I think I've heard you don't do this.
It's a Thursday. I don't feel like getting canceled this close to the weekend.
Yeah. We'll
next story.
And I have a very – you know how we say sometimes no news is good news?
Yes.
I think this might be important. Nobody's talking about it, but had the story sent to me, came out yesterday. I guess we were on the air around about the time we were getting off. It's one of the reasons why I missed it. But over at Sports Illustrated, Pat Forty, who we've always thought of plugged in, right, and who has, let's be real, ever since this IARP thing came down, Pat Forty's been one of the guys that says, look, the NCAA, from what I'm hearing, is after Penny Hardaway, right? All the, when it's come to a heavy-handed punishment, Pat Forty's been one of the guys sort of saying, this is what I'm hearing, this might be coming for Memphis and for Penny Hardaway. Has he not? Did he not at one time saying they were after them? Wrote it as strongly as that? Pretty sure he did. He had an article yesterday that about four NCAA infractions cases from 2017 that have made notable progress, two of them dealing with the IARP. Okay, and those are North Carolina State and LSU and how they're reaching points. North Carolina State, we already knew, reaching a conclusion. LSU, he's saying, is hitting a critical point now because now they're getting into their hearing phase, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they're inching closer too. Okay, the other schools are the ones not necessarily in the IARP, but Oklahoma State, which is trying to wrap up its case with the NCAA infractions case. Remember, they kicked it down the line with an appeal. All of that. I say all of that to say that there is only a mention of Memphis's, and this is it. The IARP also is working on a Memphis infractions case that is not tied to the federal correction probe, like obviously LSU was, but could carry significant sanctions. That's all that's there. Mm-hmm. If Pat Forty, who we've said we know is plugged in with the NCAA, thought that Memphis, what should be top 10 pre-10 basketball team this preseason, was in imminent danger of having something coming down right now from the IARP, I think it would have been high up in that story. Because that would have been a story. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially with where Memphis is now, with two lottery picks on them. Everybody got their eyes on them, and I know the AP's got them down at 12, but we know, guys like Dick Vitale, Gary Parrish, all 6'7". It's a team that, the national media will be watching all season long. Myron Metcalf from ESPN's talking about, scheduling trips down here. That's part of what their plan for the season at ESPN. If there was any smoke coming from the NCAA that this was about to come now, Forty would have heard it, and it had been in the story. You know what I'm saying?
Again, I agree.
Yes.
We've been trying
totally
to figure out timelines, especially since the IARP put it out. Memphis isn't close. At least it feels like if they were, they'd be mentioned more in this story. There'd be more smoke that, we're getting close on NC State, and, we're getting close on Memphis, too, and here's what it could affect this season. This is what it feels like to me. We looked at that NC State timeline. I got to give it to – I think Munns ended up writing that story first. Giannotto pointed it out. I think CA had – we looked at that NC State timeline, and you saw the public hearing, right? And then 6 months later, right, you're still waiting on that's – and if you use their same timeline with Memphis, you were talking about maybe March before anything – my whole point of this is there's not enough smoke to feel like this thing's about to come right now. And I think if there was, Pat Forty would have heard about it, and Memphis's, fate, or if it was close, would be mentioned in this story as close. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that totally. I would agree with that totally.
If he felt like a top 10 team was in danger of having a postseason ban, that's the story that they're in. The fact that they were not in that story, other than a mention, they've got the IRP thing. And listen, I brought this up with John too earlier, and this could be minor, but having done this and written stories, sometimes the language matters. And sometimes when there is a softening of language, especially with a guy that's plugged in, that matters. And so when Forty mentions the IRP also is working on a Memphis infractions case that is not tied to the federal corruption probe, but could carry significant sanctions. Remember, Forty was much stronger in his language when this first started, that they were coming after Penny.
Yes, he was.
So it doesn't say is expected to carry significant sanctions. It says could carry significant sanctions. And that, to me, as a former newsman, that felt like a softening of language that may matter. The bigger story here is that Memphis isn't mentioned higher in terms of it feeling like there's going to be a conclusion to this anytime soon, or certainly soon enough that would affect this season. That's the bigger story here. And I do wonder, secondarily, with Forty having been as strongly, as strong on Memphis is going to get it, Penny Hardaway is going to get it, as he started, this sort of could contain. I wonder if there's been a softening there. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's what we're all hoping, that it won't be nearly as significant as he once thought when this does. But the bigger news, I think, is the no news, which is doesn't feel like IRP is coming for Memphis, at least for this postseason. What do you think? It jives with the timeline of NC State's. Again, we're all – you've never been through this. You're trying to figure it out. But I think the clues tell you that the NCAA ain't saying nothing to Pat Forty right now about they're about to come down on Memphis, or I should have been in that story.
Yeah, I can't.
That's good for Memphis basketball.
So I would just say I agree with everything you're saying. I would just say I agree with everything you're saying.
You know anything, John?
You know, nothing that I would really super feel incredibly comfortable about repeating, but just the sense I get is that it's just not going to happen in time. And I think, again,
the question is whether you needed this extension stuff to do this.
Perhaps.
Remember Penny and
perhaps, maybe.
And the back and forth?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean,
because that was as recently as late August, right, when
now,
you got Imani.
I wonder
if that's helped or not.
The delay stuff.
I just wonder if that's had any impact whatsoever, or you were always going to be in this boat where it was going to take this long.
I will tell you
past.
That sort of, like, again, let me say this, totally speculation on my part. This is not based on anything that I've heard. But it does make me sort of question, like, oh, is there going to be, you know what I mean, something big? Because you're kicking it down the road, right? If it was just a, you know, slap on the wrist.
Yeah, if you thought it was a 3-game suspension for the 3 games played live.
Wouldn't that be how you'd act if you thought it was a postseason ban, right? Wouldn't you, you would certainly do everything in your power to push it down to next year, because this is the year, right? You're all in on this year. It just sort of, you know, in some ways gives me pause, like, okay, is it coming? Is that guillotine coming down? And it's just a matter of when, not if. That might be a cynical view, right?
I think those same people that are telling 40, we're almost done with NC State and LSU, this thing's coming to a conclusion, you can go ahead and write that, would have told them, oh, by the way, Memphis,
we're going to have a ruling,
which is going to be top 10 here.
Yes.
That ruling's coming. This will affect them this season. And the outlook as a result of college basketball, because Memphis is considered one of the favorites, you would have got that in that same phone conversation.
Yeah, so I think Memphis fans should feel, you know, pretty good about this season in terms of the punishment not being levied down. I think that's a fair statement. And that's obviously amazing news, because that, in terms of, like, what you worry about, that's the thing. It's not about, you know, because I don't want to hear about the, oh, there's only one ball and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear about that. Like, it's going to be fine. You got experienced guys on this roster. You have guys who want to make the tournament.
Who's saying there's only going to be one ball?
Well, you know, you just hear it. You just some fans, right? Like, just, you know, if you're going to say you have concerns about them, you would say, well, you know.
The concern was point guard, not one ball. Oh, is that just keeping everybody happy and egos?
Yes.
That's the same?
Yes.
Okay, that conversation.
Yes.
I'm
not here. I don't want to hear that
the way you had
today.
It labeled there.
I don't want to talk about that today. I think it's going to go swimmingly. I think it's going to work great. That's just how I look at it. I think this team is going to come out firing. I think they're going to win the Barclays event. I think they're going to, you know, obviously have a chance to win against both Alabama and Tennessee. They're going to have a chance to win every game on their schedule. And I think guys are going to buy in. I think that's going to be sort of the bigger difference with this team is, you know, last year you had a lot of moving pieces. You know, you had a lot of guys who were new or, you know, maybe out of position, and you're trying to figure all that out on the fly with no offseason. You don't have to worry about that this year. It's a different dynamic. And
you also got off to a slow start where there was losing and questions, and that's where that stuff seeps
didn't
in.
Help.
That you are not being used correctly, that you're not getting enough. That's where that stuff seeps in and folks start to listen.
Yep.
Right? And
so,
that's when things break up. There will not be – it doesn't feel like that sort of similar slow start this season.
Agreed.
They're going to roll out of the gates.
And so anyway, yes, your sort of thesis was that, you know, Memphis is going to be okay for this year.
Yep.
And I would tend to agree with that.
Next story.
Bro, are the Atlanta Braves
at
going to win the World Series?
Remember, they were here last year before you get too excited over.
Yeah, but Justin Turner's out now. You know, Justin Turner messed up his hamstring last night.
I'm rooting for the Braves.
Are they going to, if they win this series, are they going to win the World Series?
Not necessarily. Astros get in there. Heck, the Red Sox in there. They're kind of magical,
as
the
a
fact
Memphian,
that they're here.
As a Memphian.
But the Astros, this is what they do, though. So you know. I mean, Braves, I got to hand it to them, man. The fact that they're getting this done, you know, with not the best money team, you know, the best team money can buy, is why you root for them. The fact that, you know, they're doing it with a local guy in Austin Riley. I mean, yes, the Braves are the team you'd root for if you're from Memphis in this, unless you have been a Dodger all your life.
But they got hammered last night.
The problem for them is it was 3-1 versus the Dodgers last year. What happened? They lost games 5, 6, and 7.
Right, but I mean, now you're
so
talking
about. You wonder if did you learn anything from it that you're going to apply or not? Do the Dodgers, you know, you can never kill them, man.
Well, I understand.
And the Giants at one point thought, okay, this is it. What happened? Cody Bellinger, 2-for-48 against the Giants all season long. He comes through, gets the big hit.
I understand what you're saying, but look.
Like, we just saw this happen.
No,
so you can't
Kershaw,
count out the Dodgers.
No Muncy, and now no Justin Turner. Like, you're running out of bodies. Like, that's the
difference. Now Bellinger's hidden. You know what I'm saying? Out of nowhere. So guys have stepped up.
So you think the Dodgers are going to come back and win
the
series?
Do I think that? No, it's unlikely. You can't bet it right now, I'm sure, and get it. They're not they can be favored to come back and win the whole thing. They got to run the table.
They're favored in the next game. So they got to get this next one, obviously, because it's an elimination game.
Yes.
But they are favored in that.
Is it in L.A.?
L.A.
Is in L.A., yeah. Give me the Braves. I think the Braves shut it down. I think they move on. I think it's over.
I like the Braves.
It's an inglorious end, no question about it, for this team. But, you know, look, if they had their full lineup, I think the series would be different. But you know what? That is why they play the games, man. That is why, you know, and you sort of apply it.
Like, it's Eddie Rosario yesterday.
I know,
like,
yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's a huge day.
Well, and give credit to the Braves. They went out and they got, you know, Jock Peterson. They went out and they got, then they go out and get Rosario. Wasn't he one of the guys they acquired this year? Like, you know, they go out and they get these guys.
Peterson has been big for them since acquiring.
Yeah, and you know, a couple things break your way. A couple injuries here, a couple injuries there. Who would have ever thought the Braves were going to come out, right? Who would have ever thought that
not
they—
Not without Acuna, and then, without him.
Who would have thought that the Braves were coming out of the NL? Nobody.
So it's a better story than
that. Early in the season, they lost a lot. Like, Ozuna got into trouble, and they lost him, too. Like, that team is not what they thought it would be, and yet here they are, man.
So you got to tip your cap to them. They're a good story. And hopefully, again, this doesn't happen to them a second straight year, or then you've got a real Buffalo Bills type. You blew this. I mean, come on, 3-1 lead and 2 straight NLCS. They blow it 2 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the kind of story you don't want to be on the, you know, you don't want to be the subject of. So they will not blow a 3-1 lead 2 years in a row. I'm with you on that. And I think the Braves are the better story. Now, are they going to win the whole thing? You know, again, you got if the Stros get in there. That's what they do.
You like the Stros?
But the Braves are a great store. And how do you not root for them when they got a local on them?
Man,
that's a big
Stros,
part of it.
Though, right? I mean, they cheat, man. That's why.
I think my guy Riley went 0 for 5 yesterday, though.
Yeah.
But he's been good in these playoffs. I think he's still hitting like 280-something in the playoffs and was over 300 during the regular season.
Yeah, it's amazing, though, man.
A walk-off earlier.
Secondarily, I think you can just apply this to, you know, the Grizzlies, right? Like, the Braves were never really – they weren't a popular pick, especially if you'd have told people they weren't going to have Acuna, right? And look what happens. They catch a break. They take advantage of that break. And now they're one game away from the World Series. You know, that's the hope. That's the hope. And I'm not saying the Grizzlies and the Atlanta Braves are the same. They're not. They're still not. But the Braves were not going into 2020, 2021, this season, where there was like this thought, oh, the Braves could be a World Series winner. They didn't, like, they weren't talking. It was Dodgers. Then once the season started, it was Giants. And then you had everybody talking about the Yankees. But here come the Braves, just in position to take advantage of, you know, fate. You know, and if you're a team like the Grizzlies, long term, that's what you have to do. You have to step up when that moment comes. They did it in 2013, right? Russell Westbrook was hurt. They went to the Western Conference Finals. They ran into a buzzsaw. That happens sometimes too. But, you know, that's your hope, is that, you know, you're going to be up against these big money teams, and more years than not, you're going to fall short. But it could be an occasional year, like a shooting star, man. Somebody breaks a leg, somebody has a hand, you take advantage, and there you are.
Y'all going to hire Stubby Clapp, Brad?
I don't think so, from what I've read. It doesn't look like it's trending that way. They clearly had a rift with Shilt over, and the speculation is the analytics stuff, mm-hmm. and that he and Mo. You got to get along with John Mozeliak, or you're out. Like, mm-hmm.
That's what I hope and Stubby does.
The thing with the Cardinals that people are pissed off is it sounds like it was, yeah, we want your opinion and we want you to give it to us, but and we'll listen to it. But the truth is, if you don't agree with John Mozeliak, clearly you're out at the Cardinals, you know. And so they gotta figure that out.
Okay.
I wish Mozeliak would go. I'm not a fan. I mean, I would have rather had Schilt than Mozeliak at this point.
Well, Mozeliak ain't the reason you made the late season run.
That's what I'm saying.
We can say that.
Yeah, and the roster had problems, like, and they still got through it and got into a wild card game. So I don't. The Cardinals got to figure that out. I'd love for Stubby Kolob to get that job, though.
It'd be a great story, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. There's San Diego apparently is going to interview Schilt. So.
Really?
Yeah. Now, they said, well, we're going to call the Cardinals and figure out what happened there. So I'm sure their reference won't be the most glowing.
Interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting fit there. I mean, Padres certainly have the talent.
I think he'd be good in San Diego.
Aaron Boone got an extension. Is that true?
What do you think of that?
I think a three-year extension.
You guys like that?
I thought people in New York hated him.
They hate everybody.
I mean, I thought he was done. That's crazy.
If you don't win it all, they hate you
in
New York.
My pulse, clearly on baseball, still improving. Yeah. You know, I still have room to grow.
I don't know. He's kind of in that Roberts territory where he better do it next year.
Right.
You know, and Roberts won it last year with the Dodgers, else he was gone.
I
wonder if Rodgers is safe if they lose this run of the break.
I don't like the way he manages. Like, he unloads the bullpen. Like, he'll go 1-1-1 and very analytically driven.
Yeah. He might be in trouble if they lose. They go ahead and lose this to the Braves. I'm not sure. But he did get that one last year.
His last year. But they're loaded. They should be there, you know.
They might say that they should be winning these. Because they were coming up short before breaking through last season. Anyway,
Atlanta Braves are one game away from the World Series.
Well, who do you guys like if
same as last year?
What does it look like? It looks like Boston, and it looks like the Braves if we had to pick right now because of the records.
Didn't Astros just take a 3-2 lead?
Yeah, I think they did.
Astros are up 3-2.
Yeah, you would take the Astros right
so
now.
You like the Astros there, so it's Astros Braves. Who do you like out of that?
Stros? Because they cheat.
Right.
Still.
Cheating bastards.
But Lance McCullers is not playing right now. He's not pitching. He's hurt. You know, that gives me, I mean, if I'm
Altuve and them dudes, this is their time
They're
of
great.
Year, dude.
Yeah, he's a good player. Oof. I hate to say it.
Who's the Braves' best pitcher? Is it
Correa? He's clutch. Is it
Fried? Is that the Braves?
No, I can't count out the Braves, though. They keep proving us wrong.
And Freeman hasn't really played that great. He finally got it last night. He was playing great. But that was the first game where boom.
Charlie Morton's a monster, too. Charlie Morton's
y'all know
good.
This is a basketball town, right?
What?
Yeah.
I'm just making sure you
next
you.
Story.
Just trying to make sure you remember John Moran lives here.
We got the gambler over here.
World Series versus
I mean, you said it. Braves are one game away. That's it.
Yeah.
We sit up here talking about all the storylines and baseball.
As a Memphian, don't you feel like a connection to Atlanta?
Bring it up! Put three on the board! Are you serious?
You don't feel like Atlanta's like a cousin of Memphis?
I mean, a dirty South cousin, yeah.
More so than St. Louis.
I think Jason's doing us right here, getting us back on track.
Well, you know, I'm passionate about baseball, you know.
It's weird, but now we have to control it. It's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, it does get it,
you have
and
to keep it in the
I don't
rails
know how far it's going to go because he gets really into it. You know,
who knows?
Clearly he's going heavy on the gambling,
knows?
Jason.
Who knows where it'll stop?
Actually think you're a better gambler in the long term for you on baseball now than you are on your basketball picks,
probably,
John.
Probably football, at least. Basketball,
basketball
I'm
hit
higher.
Last night.
You hit last
three,
night, but man, the NBA is tough for the long haul, though.
Oh, no question.
You may get one night, but you ain't going to get two.
Yeah, you'll go broke on NBA, ain't no doubt.
Next story.
How about that?
But anyway, Braves one game away. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Brevin Knight's going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, about the NBA, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Play-by-play this Saturday on 92.9 FM and 680 AM as the Tennessee Volunteers take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Pre-game at 4:30 with the kickoff at 6 o'clock live on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Later Saturday night, the Grizzlies take on the Clippers. Pre-game at 9 p.m., tip at 9:30. Play-by-play live on 92.9 FM and 680 AM.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So I think this is going to end up being our final update on the Brian Laundrie case that has been that has swept the nation the last month or two. Yesterday, as we got off the air, it sounds like authorities did confirm that they found some remains, some skeletal remains that the family attorney says likely belong to Brian Laundrie in this park, in this, you know, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm. The park he went out and took a hike in?
Right, which would suggest, you know, that he went to the park. I don't know what the timeline would have been. What's the, do you know the time? Like a month ago, maybe? I don't know. It had to have been some time ago, because if it's just skeletal remains.
Yesterday, I didn't bring the,
you know, I don't have to.
Again, you're the one that's locked in on this case.
I don't have to go through
me.
Like the science,
you should know the
biological process, right? I don't need to go to that kind of detail. But clearly, time has passed. You know, since he went into this park, they found a notebook. They found some articles of clothing. You know, and in some ways, obviously, it is going to be closure for the family. In other ways, they will never be able to have full closure, because they will never understand. They will never ever get an answer. They will never truly know in that way. So it's sort of half justice, I guess you would say. You know, the easy way out for Brian Laundrie, if that's indeed the way it went out, went down. But sounds like that will indeed, we're talking about conclusion yesterday.
He disappeared on September 13th after she was reported missing on the 11th of September.
There you go.
He disappeared on the 13th, headed off to the park.
There you go.
According to them.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been there for what? A month, basically.
And so give me your theory.
Well, the theory is that he just, I guess he was just overcome, you know, overcome by the guilt and tired of running and, you know, like, because you eventually, I know you thought this dude was just going to be able to run for the rest of time because he was an outdoorsman. That's what you thought.
I thought there was a good chance, yes, that he was out there.
Right.
Yes.
I think If I was going to guess.
I think there's a better chance of that than a bear just walked up to him
and ate him. Oh, yeah, no, a bear didn't. They have bears in Florida?
Now that we actually have remains or gator or whatever it was, John, I don't know what the type of park he was in, if he was in the Everglades or not.
I don't think they have bears
like
in Florida. I don't think that's a typical
Well, I'm trying to
climate.
Find an animal that you guys could say would eat him. Well, like, what is more likely
in
now?
In Florida, it's just going to be an alligator.
Is that he felt that guilt, went in there,
yes.
committed suicide, and the animals ate his remains.
Yeah, I think that's...
That is my guess now.
Yes. Yes, I think what if I look if I were a forensic investigator, I would assume
he went missing right after she was,
yes,
reported missing.
Yes,
that's when he went. Two days later, he goes missing.
I would assume that like he was
he
just
knows
like
her after
he
it.
Was exhausted. He was tired of running. He didn't for whatever reason didn't want to turn himself in. Overcome by the guilt, and said, you know what, like this is what I'm going to do, and that's what happened. I wonder if there are any answers in that notebook they found. You know, I wonder if there were any indication or inklings. I mean, it won't matter. No matter what.
You've been following this case every day. How long were they together?
2 years, right? I don't know. I think obviously you're traveling together. You'd be together for some amount of time, some length of time. But they did have there's a video out there of sort of a domestic call.
Mm-hmm, I saw it.
That kind
She's crying a little bit, trying to explain.
Prefaces all this,
all
yeah.
That.
So you just, you know. Man, it's as a dad of a daughter, it's like this is the world you have to worry about, right? You have to be very careful with who you run around with and who you associate with, and that's quite frankly one reason why my daughter will not be allowed to have friends or really associate with the outside world whatsoever.
No, you can't do this. Why you talk about things out of your control? That's when you're really gonna be. Because you love what you can control.
Oh, absolutely.
Once some kids get out of the house, man, it's over. Like, you just pray and hope that everything you put in them is going to keep them out of trouble. And sometimes that ain't going to be enough.
Now, I can break the news to you right here on the show that my daughter did have her first day at the zoo. We went to the zoo today. Now, I'm not there, unfortunately, but it was her first zoo experience. I don't know how it went. I don't have a report for you yet, but my sister-in-law... did take her to the zoo today, and I'll be anxious to see how that went. Did she enjoy it? Is that something that we can go back to? Because, you know, if you raise a little baby, you know it's a 24/7 job trying to entertain them things. And so I could just walk her through the zoo every whatever,
mm-hmm,
that would help.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a nice alternative.
We're going to do first game.
Don't know, man. It's tough because...
You going to let her out the house? Size to the zoo?
I mean...
Going to take her to a game?
It's loud. You know,
so loud.
Loud and...
One day her
diapers
ears...
got to get changed.
One day her ears will be able to handle it,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yes. Diaper, you got to change diapers, man. Right. Who wants to change a diaper at a game, at a public... You know, I know it's part of it, but, like, I'd rather just... I think the pandemic has kind of changed, like, my... You know, like, because you used
That's
to just...
That's what we're getting at here.
Right, like, you used to just do it. Everybody just did it, you know? And That's now right. It's like, yeah, you know, I just stay home, you know what I mean? Like, I got a baby now. She's going to be, pooping all over the place. You know,
poor baby locked in the house, barely get out. Got to the zoo. That's why
no,
I was so
at some
excited.
Point we will have to socialize. There's no question. I haven't even brought her up here yet. You know, I remember Bennett brought his son up
his
here,
young son.
You know, I've kind of sheltered Riley in that sense, I guess. Maybe I'll bring her up here one day, take a little field trip, let her get a little tour of the studio. But anyway, that is the update. Sounds like they found the remains of Brian Laundry, and we can. Sort of put a close on this case. We will come back. Brevin Knight's going to join us at 125, talk NBA with him, get his thoughts on what Ja Morant did last night for the Memphis Grizzlies. Yet another strong debut for the third-year point guard. All that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.